Ephesians chapter 6 is where we will be looking today. So Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this day for all you have done for us, Lord, all you have been to us. We thank you that through your Son that we can be adopted and you can become truly our Father. And we just pray you would guide us in your truth, Lord, that you would teach us as a father does his children, Lord. And we thank you this day as well, Lord, for our fathers here on earth you've given, Lord. And we pray your blessing upon them, those that are still alive, Lord. And help us to continue to honor them in all that we do each day, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so today is the day in which we have set aside to honor our fathers. We recognize that it is something that's important for us to do so. We see here in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are commanded to do so. We're to honor our parents. And we see that it's referred to as the first commandment with promise, that by doing so we bless not only our parents, we also bless ourselves, that things go well for us as we do so. And thus it's good for us to take the time to contemplate all that our fathers have been to us. When we look back in our growing up years and the influence that our fathers have been, probably none of us would be able to say that our fathers were perfect, but the fact that they worked hard to provide a roof over our heads, clothes for our continually growing bodies, and food for our continually growing appetites, that counts for something, as does their work in guiding our lives, instilling within us values and wisdom to guide our life. It was kind of interesting, as I was driving a bit on Friday, they had a thing on the radio of different sayings or words of wisdom that people remember their father giving them. And it was quite interesting, just the variety of it and how all of it was things that had really stuck with people throughout all their life, that it had really been a help to them, just that one phrase. And so it gives us pause to think of how much our lives have been molded by our fathers, and where and who we would be without that influence. And as well as each of us grows or has grown into being parents ourselves, we can realize the challenges that parenting can be. And it gives us a renewed appreciation of our parents and how challenging we must have been to them. That we sometimes catch ourselves, we might describe an issue we're dealing with our children to our parents, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's how you acted and what we had to do." And so it's kind of payback. You're now knowing what we dealt with. And so it is a good thing to do. It is good for us to have this day of Father's Day. And of course, it is not to all to say that we should have one day of the year to honor our fathers and mothers and then spend the rest of the year dishonoring them, that God's command is for every day. And what we see, and like the first command, verse 1, of children, obey your parents, that there's no statute of limitations on the second commandment to honor our father and mother, that, of course, there always comes a time when you're no longer a child, when you're no longer under your parents' roof, you step out from under their authority to establish your own life and your own family, and at that point, you're responsible to make your own decisions. But we recognize that there never comes a time that bond between us and our father ceases, and thus each day, by our words, by our actions, we seek to honor our fathers, even if they've passed from this world, that by the way that we live, that we bring honor to our fathers, even now. And on this day, we honor not only our fathers, but the concept of fatherhood as well. We understand fatherhood is something that just didn't kind of come about by accident, that it was established by God in His wisdom and love, and that He has a plan and a purpose to be fulfilled through it. That we recognize that ultimately our earthly fathers, by their love, by their provision, by their guidance and protection, are to be a reflection of the Heavenly Father. That God did not, as some have speculated, kind of create fatherhood and then use the concept of fatherhood to define or describe Himself in a way that we would understand Him. That rather, that God is our Father, and He designed and defined fatherhood in terms of Himself, providing the ultimate example for every father to follow. That as God has been a father to us, guiding our lives, providing our needs, protecting us from harm, correcting us in measure, as He has been a father to me, then therefore I am to be a father to my children. That we understand that of each father, that they're not only to be a reflection of God the Father, but they are also to live a life so that the child's heart might be prepared to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that he or she might be adopted into God's family and then have God truly become their heavenly Father. That it's through fathers that there might be made ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so as parents in general and as fathers in particular, we recognize that the providing for, the guiding, protecting, and raising up of children, it is a tremendous challenge and it is a tremendous responsibility. When we first start as parenting, that we can be really so naive on how it's to go. I remember me and Malia, we were kind of like, well, we love kids, we think we're going to be really good parents, and then just things happen and you realize, wow, this is challenges me far beyond anything that I ever expected. That it is a lot more difficult than I would think it would have been. And so that's what we see here, that we, as parents, that we want to do right, we don't want to do them wrong, and sometimes we find, we think we have good ideas, but then we start doing it and we find, well, that was a big mistake, I shouldn't have done that. And we don't want to do wrong by our children. And not the least of which we see what's spoken of in verse number 4, where it says of that ye fathers provoke not your children to wrath. But that's some that of anything we see that the emphasis of it is in that in the scriptures, not to do that, that we don't want that to happen. It kind of gives the idea of frustrating and exasperating our children. And if we do so, we read in Colossians 3 and verse 21 that it says, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. And we don't want that to happen. We understand with our children that they have a desire to please us, a desire to be like us. But when we frustrate them through inconsistency, through favoritism, through demanding of them, that they hold to a more rigid standard than even we are able to hold to ourselves, that it causes them to give up, to stop trying. And we don't want them to get into that situation. We don't want to be a discourager to our children. We want to, more than anyone as parents, to be an encourager to them so that they would grow, so that they would achieve, and so that they would accomplish many things in their life. And so for that to happen, our focus needs to be not on the negative things of what not to do, we want to instead focus on the positive things, that which fatherhood is God designed it to be all about. And we see as parents in general and as fathers in particular that we are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word to bring up gives the idea of nourishing up, of bringing to maturity. It kind of gives a connotation of taking the child by the hand, taking them with us from where they are right now up to where we are, that we bring them with us. We have in the scriptures the word exhortation, which literally means to call to one's side. And it is a fitting word to apply to fatherhood, in which both literally and figuratively we call our children alongside us to journey with us and learn and grow together. And so we're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That the word for nurture gives the idea of training by act. Both we can think of in terms of positive and negative. We can think of the idea of correcting and disciplining of a child, but also the day-to-day instruction in righteousness, instruction in life, of life skills. Admonition gives the idea of training by word, both positive and negative, that we might be giving words of encouragement or words of correction and say, well, don't do that, this is why, this is the consequences of it. But finally in this verse we see in the phrase that we're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that is the basis and the focus of all that we are to do in the role of fatherhood. That it's not just a matter of us passing along our wisdom to our children. That I know as myself, the thought, well, if all my parenting is passing on the wisdom I have, well, that won't take very long, kind of thing. That there's kind of it's a shallow well to draw from, kind of thing. That it's that so much of our wisdom, sometimes of our own wisdom, is many times, well, don't do this. I did this and it didn't go good, and so just don't do what I did. And we want to have something much greater for us to pass along than that. Something that's. And we want to realize that there is something for us to pass on. It's much bigger than any of us. That we're, in a sense, you could think of it, that we're part of a great relay race. That the torch has been passed on to us, and it is up to us as parents to run our portion of the race well, and to hold the torch high, and then we want to ensure, just as in a relay race, one of the most important things that they practice over and over again is the passing of the baton, or passing, or you think of with the Olympics that are coming up, of how they're having the torch relay that'll end up in London. That's the big thing, is you don't want to end up dropping the torch as it's passed from one to another. And so we want to do a proper job of passing the torch on to the next generation. And we see this in the passage that we read at the beginning this morning in Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, that it was they had heard this saying that they'd heard from their fathers, had told them, and that they weren't going to hide it from their children. They're going to show it to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works He hath done. Psalm 78 verse 5, it says, "For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise, and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." That we see the idea that as a fathers, that they're supposed to teach their children of the ways of God, to praise the Lord, teach them of His works, to bring them up in faith, bring them up in obedience to God. That we see here that it gives a sense of not only seeking to teach and train our children, but to actually teach and train them so that they would be able to then teach and train their children as well. And so it's a generational focus of many years of trying to have an influence. And so as we view fatherhood as a whole and all that's involved, and all that God has designed it to be, I want to try to boil it down into one thought that I hope would be a help to you and a challenge to you. And that as fathers, that we have the greatest opportunity and the greatest responsibility to disciple our children. And that fatherhood, we look at it as being a calling to discipleship. That as fathers, we don't usually think of our role in terms of discipling. Usually as fathers, we think of our role in terms of disciplining our children, to correct, to chastise, to punish our children when they wander out of the way, And we recognize that this certainly is a very important part of parenting, and is done properly as a demonstration of a love, of our love to them, and it's a reflection of our Heavenly Father, who chastens us when we wander out of the path. But we recognize that with our Heavenly Father, that the time of chastening is not the only interaction that He has with us as His children, nor is even the most predominant part. And neither, therefore, should it be with us as fathers to our children. Sometimes we can be guilty of it. I know I've been guilty of it from time to time, of what you could best describe as kind of drive-by parenting, that we're busy doing something and the kids are acting up. And so we deal with that and we go back to what we're doing and they act up again. And we wonder, well, why are they acting up? And part of it is they're just kind of wanting our attention and we're not giving what they need. And there's more, much more, that as fathers, if God wants us to be involved in their life. And we want to realize that there's a bigger picture, it's kind of with so many things in life, is that it's like a huge picture, a great mural, and we have our face pressed up to it and we see only one spot of it, and the Lord wants to show us there's something much greater involved. And we recognize that disciplining is part of fatherhood, that it is actually related to discipling. We recognize that because the words sound the same, that they come from the same root word in English. But we think of it in terms of discipling being the idea of making a follower, that discipline is the correction part. And there is a difference, and we want to see the entire picture of it. Think of it this way: when we think of the word discipline, what word, what kind of image immediately comes to our mind? I think for most it would be the idea of a drill sergeant, that he's trying to, he's at boot camp, he's trying to instill discipline into these troops, and he's yelling at them, "Come on, you maggots, you need to do this," and that's what we think of when we think of discipline. But when we hear the word disciple, what do we immediately think of? We think of Jesus and the 12 disciples and how He was with them, how he guided them while He was on this earth and prepared them to be leaders. And so when we think of us as fathers in the years to come, when our child is grown and they look back upon us, what image would we want to come into their mind when they think of us? They want them to think of us as a drill sergeant who made them toe the line? Or do they want us to think of us that we reflected Jesus unto them, someone that loved them despite their failings, someone that was like a shepherd to them, and someone that prepared them for a life of ministering to others? That I think both we could recognize that a child that has grown would be thankful for both, for the guidance that's provided. But if they had a choice, I think it's obvious which one they would prefer. And so ultimately, we understand that we want our children to become disciples and followers of Christ. We want them to come to a saving knowledge of Him, to learn to have a real devotion to God, and that as they grow older, that they'll serve the Lord faithfully through the years. That if we can accomplish that, we can be certain that they're going to have a life that is blessed, a life that is fruitful, regardless of what salary they might earn later on or whatever earthly accolades they might receive. And so to help them in that goal, that as fathers we must say to our children, as Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." That we need to seek to be true, devoted disciples and followers of Christ ourselves, and that we allow the Lord to nurture us and admonish us, and then as we turn around and we bring up our children in nurture and admonition of the Lord, they learn to follow us and ultimately follow the Lord as well. That's, in many ways, it's the mindset with which we approach parenting that I think can make such a difference. In many ways can take the pressure off. That there's so much today, so many books and literature, well, what method do I need to use? There's all these different methods for parenting. which one's going to work. But the thing is if we follow the Lord, if we draw close to Jesus, if we seek His guiding, we seek Him to develop us in wisdom and character, that we're guided by God in the decisions we make, that of necessity that our children will be brought to follow the same person that we do. And so it is that thought of a calling to discipleship, a call for us as fathers to be disciples of Christ, and then a calling for us to make disciples of our children, first of us and ultimately of the Lord Himself. And so in the time we have left, I want to just give a few thoughts which apply both to us as adults seeking to be disciples of Christ, and then also how we in turn are to make disciples of our own children. First of all, we see in terms of discipleship, a big part of discipleship is relationship. We see in Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14, it says, and he, speaking of the disciples, it says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. That you think of it, these 12 disciples that where it lists of what he wanted them to do, that the first thing of all of those was to be with him. And we understand that by being with him, they would have time with him, and they would learn and they would grow. And we understand that if we are to be Christ's disciples, that we need to spend time with him in prayer, time with him in Bible study and the like, drawing close to him. And if we're to disciple our children, that we need to spend time with them, developing that relationship, that we need to be with them so that we can influence their lives. That the focus so much today is on having quality time, that we don't have a lot of time for family, so we need to make the time that we have count. But for kids, I think the measure of time is different for them than it may be for us. That for them, just being together with us is quality time. For them, quantity equals quality. And if we are to disciple them, we need that time. If we are to obey the command as it speaks of in Deuteronomy 6 verse 7, where we're to, these commands that have been given us, that we're to teach them diligently unto our children, talk with them, that when thou liest down, when thou risest up, I think I've got them mixed up a little bit, but that whole idea that every part of the day that we need to be teaching and instructing our children, that we need to have that time. We realize that even though life seems to get busy, that all the more we need to make our time personally with the Lord, and personally with our children. We need to make that more and more the priority, that the more investment of time we're able to make in both areas, the more the return will be. Secondly, when we think of discipleship, we think so much of how it is teaching by example, that for us to live our life, we ask, well, how do we live? What do we do? We realize from the scriptures how it says of the Lord Jesus that he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That we learn of Christ, what he did, that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so we seek to pattern our lives after him. We seek to follow him in all that we do, in all that we say, all that we think. And so it is with our children. We understand that they have a natural desire within them that they want to be just like their daddy. They want to do what we do. And so if that is the case, that they want to be just like daddy, then we want to make sure that daddy is what we want them to be like. And it's leaving a godly example to follow. One has said of parenting that more is caught than taught. That we can have instruction sometimes, but so much by the way we live that is what really makes the difference. That if we follow Christ ourselves, if they see a devotion to God in us, that will inspire them to have that same devotion. And that's what we want to have within them. Thirdly, we see with discipleship how its teaching is learning through doing. That we see with Jesus' disciples that it says that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And we see that again, that as he was discipling them, he was sending them out. And they were going out, and sometimes things went really good and they came back. The Lord said, well, even the devils were subject unto thy name. But then there is other times where they came to the Lord and says, well, we went out and there is this fellow that his son had a demon and we couldn't cast him out. And so they had to come back. But it was they learned by doing. And as they did that, it helped develop their confidence. It helped develop their faith. And it was a necessary part, because you think of it, that Christ was only going to be with them for 3 years. And they were going to be left to basically lead and guide what would become the church. And so he needed to prepare them to continue on in his absence. And so it is with each of us. And we kind of talked a bit about this last week, of how he wants us to be exercised in godliness, in spiritual matters, that we might learn and grow. That we understand that he puts trials and tests in us so that we might be exercised, and that it is to challenge us. And we realize that he never tempts us above what we're able. He always provides a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And he's aware of our limitations, but he always tries to push us beyond what we think our limitations to be. And so it is with our children, that we want to encourage them, we want to challenge them to put into practice what they've learned, so that their confidence and their faith might be strengthened. That it's easy as parents to want to try to do everything for them, but we know that we won't always be there. And when they're on their own, we want them to be able to still do what's right. And so we seek to prepare them bit by bit, that we don't lay on them much more than they can handle. We do it carefully, a little bit at a time, giving them further responsibilities, giving them practical exercising in what they've learned. And sometimes they're going to succeed, sometimes they're going to fail, but in all of that, we're there with them to help them, to help them find, well, why did we fail? What can we learn from this? That sometimes there's lessons to learn from both success and failure. And even the lesson, well, if you succeeded, well, don't get proud, because then you're no doubt going to fail if you get thinking that you knew what you were doing, kind of thing. And so we want to be as Christ in that we're there to praise them, encourage them, whether things go good or whether things go wrong, that we want to help them in that as they learn. And then finally, the idea of discipleship comes back to that word that we mentioned earlier, and that is the word exhortation, the idea of the calling alongside. That Jesus walked with his disciples, and we actually find in many instances, we think of in the latter chapters of John, that it was as they were walking that he was teaching them. That they were with him and he was instructing them in these different things and helping them. And may we as well call our sons and daughters to our side to walk with us, to teach them as we go and as we grow together. And so as we think of this as fatherhood, of being a call to discipleship, a call for us as fathers to be disciples of Christ, and then for us to make disciples of our children, of us, and ultimately of the Lord as well. As we put these things to practice, as we fulfill this full intent of the Scriptures that we see in Ephesians chapter 6, that then the bond that we have with our children naturally becomes strengthened. And as we're faithful in this, that the cause of Christ is naturally advanced. And so as we celebrate Father's Day this day, may we as fathers and mothers and even as grandparents, may we turn our hearts to our children and to our grandchildren, that their hearts might be turned unto us, so that we might make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word and the challenge it is, Lord. We pray that we might truly be followers of you, Lord, that we would be devoted unto you, and that by that, Lord, that we would be the example and be strengthened so that we might lead children and others, Lord, that we interact with and we have influence upon to be your disciples as well. And we just pray you would help us, Lord, to answer this call, and that you would help us to be faithful, Lord, for your sake and for the sake of those that come behind us, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn. Number 183, Faith of Our Fathers. Number 183. Please.
Thank you.